social disruptions in Egypt and prior to that in Tunisia and Yemen really were spurred to some extent by strong rises in food prices. And in some parts of the world, governments have actually lifted the price of diesel because in a lot of cases, these countries have been subsidising the price of fuel. And as the price of oil goes up, they find that it's costing them too much and they've had to raise the price. And with the price of oil going up and the price of food going up generally, that's led to instability. And the whole thing's a bit of a powder keg because if you look at the population profiles of Egypt and Yemen and places like Tunisia, it's a very broad, flat pyramid. So there's a lot of young people coming through. In many of these countries, you've got 60 to 65% of the population are under 25. So these young people, as they come out of schools and universities looking for a job, can't find one, and they're trying to push their way into society and perhaps push their mothers and fathers out of their positions and try and gain some power for themselves. So there's social instability coming from this empty tummy syndrome where people are hungry.
If it's the food shortages then which are partially causing this social unrest, is that having much of an impact on these countries' efforts to try and secure more food going into the future?
But what we're seeing globally now is that sovereign wealth funds from Saudi Arabia and Egypt are out there now buying up agricultural land in Canada, you know, central wheat growing areas of the United States, also in Australia and in other parts of well-watered Africa in the south. There's countries are out there trying to secure their food future, and they're having to compete, of course, against the Chinese.
So what does this mean, I guess, for the future market of foodstuffs?
It's going to be quite interesting. You can imagine a situation where Australia, for instance, goes back into drought, as is the normal situation, and yet we're seeing food going across the wharf destined for Cairo or Beijing. But what we've seen on the market is that companies that are involved in that area, like Primag, shares have gone from about $1.30 to $1.56 in the last 3 weeks, even though they've had massive losses and negative impacts from these floods over the last 2-3 months. And other companies that are involved in fertilisers like Incitec Pivot have seen their prices go up quite strongly. And a company called MineMakers, which has got a large phosphate deposit in Northern Territory, her share price has gone up from around 25, 30 cents to 56 cents on a strengthening market for phosphates and fertilisers generally.
Is this going to mean good things for Australian farmers or just for those companies that deal in, I guess, the fertiliser and the export side of things?
Well, the service providers will always make money. I mean, even in a bad year, the farmers will need to put some fertilisers down. But from Australia's point of view, farmers stand to benefit from high commodity prices, provided they can get a crop off. It's not rained out or ruined by drought or locusts, as we've had, then they're in good shape.